Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and first thing I'm going to do here is quickly say hello to the ad guy. How you doing, Big Addy Cool?
Not too shabby, not too shabby at all. How about you, Mo?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm going to hit you for the first subject.
Absolutely. First topic on the docket here, Stone Cold Steve Austin made his promoted and much anticipated return to Raw. What'd you think?
Well, I mean, just having him out there is great. I mean, the guy's, you know, just an engaging personality, right? He's a lot of fun. He's a fun personality. He livened up the show. He livened up the live crowd. The only thing is, I'm sitting there going, Steve Austin's there, and the same night The Rock's there, and I don't give a damn about any matches. I just want to see them singing Margaritaville at the end of the
yes.
night in the middle of WrestleMania together. So I'm kind of going, what is WrestleMania? Is WrestleMania a night to have put over stars, or is it a night just to make the crowd happy and do whatever makes them happy and have them in that ring together at the end?
It's all about the new talent.
Yeah, we can tell that.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I was a little bit with Austin. Obviously it was great having him out there. I thought the angle with Michael Cole was great. I enjoyed seeing JBL back as well.
That was a pleasant surprise, man. That was excellent.
It was. And I thought earlier I was I remember questioning when Christian was out there, and then Del Rio came out, and he just came out. We walked down the aisle, and I thought, oh, it's the ramp, right? There's no car there. Well, then, of course, JBL comes out an hour later in the truck or in the limo, and I go, oh,
yeah,
okay.
He's taking up all the space for
the
car.
That's why. Yeah. That's why. Yes. So, but no, I thought that was great. I thought Austin dumping the beer on Michael Cole when he went and shook his hand and said, good luck on your match, brother, and then just dumped the beer.
Was the fact Cole was humiliated there, though? Was that, like, I mean, now we've seen him humiliated? Or does it matter that it's Lawler we got to see humiliate him? Lawler's got to get that shot in.
Well,
is that what we're paying for?
Yeah, that's...
We already saw him get his, essentially, in some way, right?
And you'll see it again. I mean, how many times did we see Bobby Heenan get his? How many times did we see Austin get Vince McMahon, for that matter?
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
yeah.
it's you know, Bang 316, there was the beer bath, they got Bedpan McMahon. I mean, he got McMahon so many times, never got old, but, I mean, it was great.
Yeah, well, actually, I don't think it never got old to me.
No, I don't think so. And again, Michael Cole, I think, is the same way. He's that hated of a heel.
Yeah, somebody you just love to see get his, because he's just such a douche.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a douche.
Yeah, as far as actually Austin there, I mean, I'm looking forward to him at Mania. It's just one more thing that makes me want to see Mania. It's unfortunate it's one more thing that's not current that makes me want to see Mania.
Well, that's the problem you get into is what are we talking about? We're talking about Hunter and Undertaker. We're talking about Stone Cold as the ref. We're talking about The Rock, of course. You know, there's Shawn Michaels going into the Hall of Fame. There was talk about Shawn Michaels being a ref. I don't know now that Austin's a ref that you do. HBK is the ref as well, but they're certainly teasing with these two back-to-back sit-down interviews that they've had, the pre-taped interviews with him.
He's got to play a role. Just has to. I don't know what it will be, but he has to play some role. He doesn't have to actually do anything more than come out halfway through the match, and you're going, what's he doing there? You know?
Well, here's a question. Is it the main event? Is Hunter and...
Well, I mean, we've talked about that before. I think, no, Rock has to be there.
Okay.
The so
well, the only reason
Rock and Austin singing Margaritaville together is the main event for me. Nothing else. I probably won't be a fan anymore if we don't get that.
Okay. Well, that seems a little rash, doesn't it? Who would say something like that?
I don't know.
But... I think the only reason I bring that up is because, to me, it is very – if you do the Cole-Lawler match and it leads to Josh Matthews being out by himself, if you have Shawn Michaels come in and do the commentary on Hunter and Taker's
match.
Actually,
that would be very interesting for him to come out and do the commentary.
And then you could have Cole and Michael – or not Cole, Josh Matthews and Michaels doing the commentary, and that – can then,
you know,
lead to
for
something,
the first,
right?
You so. Just said it, and for the first time, it just clicked in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I'm going to hear Josh Matthews calling WrestleMania this year.
Possibly.
3 years ago, I could not have imagined him ever, but nevertheless this quick. 1 year ago, I couldn't have remembered it. 1 month ago, I don't know if I would have pictured that. No. You know, I mean, it's that's crazy to think of.
Josh,
think of the names who have called it. I mean, you think of the JRs and the Vince McMahons and the Gorilla Monsoons and these guys.
And the Jessies. And even,
yeah, and the Jessies. All of a sudden you're going, and Josh Matthews. And I understand he surpassed
Regis Philbin.
Regis Philbin, yeah. Susan St. James.
Susan St. James. Mary Hart.
Yeah, nevertheless, but Bob Uecker. Nobody could. They should bring him back. Actually that would be my ideal. But
Hornswoggle.
With Hornswoggle, that would be. Can you see a little Hornswoggle?
You could. Yeah, a little you Hornswoggle, could. Yes.
You could, but or Craig Valentine. You know, they could. What they could do is they could bring in Craig Valentine to do color commentary.
Wow.
Just don't turn his mic on for the first 45 minutes because it'll take him that long.
Well, just to get warmed up, and I think the microphone would be the same way, but.
Yeah, exactly.
It's well, they've got it. They've got the signal jammed, right, with the hammer jammer.
That's right. So, they got the hammer jammer. So that's just how you do jammer. It. But we're totally getting off track.
I'm telling
here.
You, Josh Matthews and Booker T, your commentators for WrestleMania.
Yeah, Booker T as somebody else you couldn't have imagined. But at least Booker T, I always thought to myself for many years, I thought he has potential to become a great announcer someday when he retires. But I just did not see Josh Matthews coming.
Well, let's move into Booker T because Booker T seems to be a very polarizing character. He's not getting a lot, at least from what I've seen, a lot of net love. From people talking about him. I personally think that I mean everybody that listens to this show knows that I love Gorilla Monsoon, and to me that's what he's doing. He's just throwing out those cliches and the you know, does it really have anything to do with the match sometimes? But is it funny to me just to listen to him spew these things out? Hell yeah.
Well, I think the thing about Booker is, to some degree, him kicking out all this stuff is covering up for the fact that he hasn't followed the product real closely within the WWE for a few years. And
neither have the writers.
No. And as the time goes, well, neither has Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler has his way of not really following the product, certainly not following SmackDown.
Oh, gosh, he has
no
idea.
And hiding it. And Booker T's doing it in his way. Now, as time goes on and he starts to understand and get to know the product better, we might see a slightly different take from him and let him grow into it. I mean, I got no problem with that. And people that are expecting him to go in there and automatically be the best ever, I mean, those people
are
idiots.
No, but yeah, that's true. But I think what people were thinking is that they were going to get, a wrestler's type perspective of, you know, the color.
But why? There's still somebody in his headset screaming at him, telling him what he can and can't say and making fun of him and screaming at him and just all this bullshit. That's always been going on.
Well,
Mick Foley was a fantastic promo, and it took him a long time. I mean, I enjoyed him, but he wasn't as good as I thought he would be because there was somebody in his head going, say it this way, damn it!
Yeah, well, and I wonder, now that you've mentioned that, remember back with someone that we were going to actually hopefully hook up with later, speaking of Booker T, was Buff Bagwell. And remember the Booker Bagwell, the WCW match on Raw, and everybody thought Arn Anderson was going to be the shoe-in for a great commentator, and he wasn't?
Yeah.
And I wonder now that we say that, how much, you know, if there was, you know, the voices in his ear throwing him off, because he was a great storyteller in his promos, and I just, that to me would translate so well to color, but it just didn't. I mean, it was one match, and granted, it was a shitty match, but
that was terrible.
You know, but it wasn't good.
no, it wasn't good. It was awkward. Well, I mean, everything was awkward. But wasn't he working with Hudson that night?
Mm-hmm.
Scott Hudson also. Scott Hudson actually somebody who his style was. Just not what WWE would ever be looking for, even though he was actually a pretty good announcer, but his style did not suit what they wanted. So, I love Scott Hudson every episode, every single time he called a match, telling us how high the Q rating was in the ring for the people in there. And Q rating is basically charisma rating for television.
Yes.
Look at the – you got Sid and Hulk Hogan in there. Look at the Q rating on this one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Scott Hudson.
Everybody's got their things.
Yeah, everybody's got their quirks. But, no, I think that that Booker, to me, you know, I don't need him to be the analyst. I just need him. Some of the
analyze this. We're going to analyze it. Who is it that you're saying he's not getting a lot of net love? And personally, I mean, most of the time, who cares about net love? But
that's
true. I know they don't give a damn, but when you say he's not getting net love, what do you mean specifically? Do you see it on message boards, or are you seeing it from who? Who are you saying net love? Is there a specific group you think is seeing it everywhere, mean, what's going on there?
I was gonna say it seems to be from everywhere that I turn, every show that I listen to, you know, every message board that I go on that has a topic on Booker T, it's largely negative. I don't say it's all negative because you know, very rarely is everything all negative. I mean, he's not Mike Adamley, but it's largely, I would probably say 85-90% negative. And so, and then said, I just don't, I don't agree. I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I think he is spewing out some of the cliches, as you said, to probably cover up for the fact that he's getting used to these things, but getting used to the role. And I think if he keeps the
getting
cliches,
used to the storylines and the characters,
I don't think that matters.
Well, no, but he has to get used to them because he hasn't followed them.
Well, no, but as I said, who has?
Yeah, yeah. Right? Well, especially on SmackDown.
Yes. Well, you know, Booker and Michael Hayes have a lot in common, so they'll probably bond very easily.
That's true. That's
so
true.
That'll be all right.
Have they both beat up Batista?
They may have. They may have. He's a free bird. What's your excuse?
Yeah. All right. I mean, you know what? Let's move on to another one. We're talking about Austin there. We're talking about Booker T and not getting a lot of net love. Let me tell you who wasn't getting a lot of net love this last week, or a lot of love within the arena, was John Cena. I got to get what do you think of that?
John Cena.
That was a quite the ending
he
to Raw this last
laid
week.
A smoking shit turd, didn't he? Holy fuck.
Now, you know what? A smoking shit turd, you would smell what he was cooking. And
my God. The knockout fucking blow. Are you shitting me? Like, holy fuck. That was horrible.
So you didn't like it?
That was the greatest promo I ever heard in my life. What are you talking about? No, that was fucking... I'm not going to address you in rap. I'm going to address you in hip-hop. Yeah, pal. Like, oh my God. Like, him and... Like, he'd been bragging about this on his Twitter and for, like, since Tuesday. You know, wait till the knockout blow comes. You worked on this for a week? Like, and...
with a group of writers?
Yeah. Like, that's just... And he goes back to poo-poo and the fact that I'm here and
it
you're...
It wasn't as non-PG as that first rap, but it was certainly not a PG promo.
It was not a PG promo, no. He did get away from that again, but it was just all his message is I'm here and you're not. You abandoned us. I'm here. You're not.
So okay, break it down for me a little bit, because you're kind of rambling about it here. And obviously, seems to me like you thought it was maybe not that good. I'm guessing that seems to be your attitude, that you didn't like it. I'm just guessing.
I'll give you some balanced feedback, though. The only thing I did enjoy was I Bring It via Satellite.
Everybody enjoyed that. That was good.
In fact, I'm sure
he didn't come up with that. That was so good.
If he had just come out and...
Yeah, tell me what it is you really didn't like about it, more than the fact that it wasn't good.
It didn't connect with the crowd, for one.
Why do you think that is?
Well, because there was nothing for him to... Like, he's trying to tell jokes and they weren't funny.
He tries to tell jokes every week and they're not funny. His OCD jokes the week before and his doctor's note wasn't funny.
Well, no, that's true, but I think with this what happened was... it was something that he was really proud of himself for it. The look on
that
his
face... That came
across
like a smarmy heel, didn't it?
The look on his face was he was just... He had this sort of... Not so much a shit-eating grin, but at the end he had that look like, don't try me. Because don't bring, what did he say, don't throw rocks? He something about knife to a gunfight, I think is what it was. It wasn't the Piper line.
Bring
it
by a satellite, don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. And I'm thinking, like, okay, like, what? Like, he was like, I'll show you, and it would be like me telling you, I'll show you, you're a big dummy face.
Okay, let me. Right? I'm going to break it down to you. Here's my problem with it, from my perspective. Maybe this will get your break it down so that you have some way of come back. Break it down. Dun, 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 dun. Anyways, I should probably do more singing if we want more subscribers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what iTunes needs.
That's okay, so here's my problem with this John Cena thing. John Cena comes out, and first time he comes out, he responds to The Rock. The Rock came out his very first evening out there, and he kind of made fun of Cena. Now, it was nothing specific. He just said he was running his mouth as far as why he was making fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
But he basically came out there, and he made fun of a lot of stuff that's very easy to make fun of, and he didn't even talk about the jean shorts, really. You know, I mean, but there's enough material to make fun of on John Cena.
Miz
does that, but that doesn't count. So let's talk about the people that actually people are caring about. And we'll talk about Miz and he kind of saved that segment to some degree, but he's still the fucking Miz. That's the problem.
Yes.
The end of the day. But so The Rock comes out there and he talks all this crap. And Cena comes back there and he kind of responded in kind. Okay, you're going to talk crap. I'm going to make fun of you for your crap.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say even. It wasn't even, but.
It was as even as it could be.
It was a good response. Now The Rock comes back the next week, and The Rock is serious, and The Rock is telling you why he has a beef. He's explaining who he is. He's explaining his legacy, his family's legacy. He's explaining how much the WWE leads to him. He's coming across with passion and seriousness while still being funny, because The Rock's funny.
He's
not sacrificing his point of view.
The Rock was trying to draw money.
He's not sacrificing his point of view in order to be funny.
No.
And he took down the rapping. So now it was Cena's opportunity to come back down there and go, okay, you
respond,
want to know what my
kind.
Problem with you is?
Yes.
I don't need to rap with you anymore. You already brought that down. So for me to go back to that now looks weak because you brought it down.
That's right.
So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to tell you my point of view. You left. You were gone for 7 years. You quit calling yourself The Rock. You never showed up at arenas. You never put over our product. I know you were here for a long time, and I appreciate the fact that you went to Hollywood and said, I'm doing this. I'm opening doors for other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my issue. My issue is that you did it while abandoning us. And now, at your leisure, you're coming back now that you think it's the right time and it's good for you. And you're saying it's because of your love, but I don't know that I buy it. So let me explain to you my point of view. Everything I said in that original Sun interview that gave kind of the start to this angle before it was even an angle. Everything I said there and my point of view and my belief that I just don't think you treated the fans as good as you deserved,
mm-hmm.
if he had just come out and simply said that and made his point, he didn't have to be funny, he didn't have to do anything. All he had to do was say, you made your point seriously, here's my point seriously. You may agree with me, you may disagree with me, but I'm not just here to be an asshole. I do have a reason I was saying these things. I do have a reason for you to dislike me, and you may not agree with it, but here's my point.
I don't hate
that's
you,
what
Rock.
He didn't
I
do.
Hate what you did. Yeah.
Yes, that's what failed.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I didn't connect with the crowd. That's because it didn't.
Yeah.
That's what my issue is. And that's... That makes me go, oh, who the hell?
Well, and I think further to my point is, you're right, is it came out, The Rock came out with the electricity of the return, and he was hilarious with You Can't See Me. He was classic Rock, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then Cena came out, he was a doctor of thugonomics, as you said, it wasn't even, but it was as even as it could be.
But it was a good response.
It was a good response for what John Cena can do. And then The Rock comes up and he ups the ante. The intensity level and says like and he really
here's
gets
the
serious.
Core of the issue.
This is the issue, and now it's time, as you said, for Cena to respond to that in kind, and instead he's Mr. Funny Pants again. He's back to the Dr. OCD notes. Like he's
a combination of the Dr. OCD notes and the Doctor of Thugonomics, and at no point did he actually state how he really feels. Or did he make the crowd feel his point?
Mm-hmm.
And he that's all he had to do. But this is the issue I've always had with John Cena is I never take him seriously. Everything about the guy feels phony. And I know there's a lot of people that are fans of his. I know that we've recently joined Twitter. It's WeTalkWrestling@twitter.com. Is that correct?
No, you just go to Twitter.com and search WeTalkWrestling.
Well, there you go. So Twitter.com, search WeTalkWrestling, and we've gotten ourselves quite a few followers. And I see how many of those followers who've followed us are
Cena
John
fans.
Cena fans.
Yeah.
Many of them are female John Cena fans. But for my problem has always been that it's phony, and it's not just the fact that he comes out there and he's never angry. That's part of it. It's not just his wrestling style. It's just everything about him. I just feel like he's a guy playing a role who they've created, and he's not – and he's just good enough at it. The guy – when I watch John Cena, my feeling, my dislike to him is kind of like how I feel when I'm watching a person who's a politician, who's a president or something else in that nature, me going, God, he's just playing that role perfectly, and people are buying it, and it pisses me off.
Mm-hmm. Just eating, lapping the shit up, eh? But
they're lapping the shit up. And so, yeah, I mean, sure, he throws a horrible-looking punch. He doesn't look athletic. He doesn't look to me like he can win a fight. He's a strong guy, but the difference between a strong guy and a guy who looks like he's tough and can win a fight, I never bought that about him. But that's a whole other issue. It's just everything about him feels like a phony.
Well, the thing to me with that, and going back to the promo again, is just that he didn't... He didn't further it. He didn't further the angle. He went back again and did a lighter version of his first promo.
Yeah,
of,
exactly.
Of his time. And so, again, it was more of a...
But that's it, though. There's nothing real there. There's nothing that makes me ever go, I can believe what you're saying with conviction. And it's partially him, and it's also partially when he does do something with conviction, saying, I'm going to go home, I'm going to see my mother's birthday, or whatever it was.
Right.
Then he's back the next week. So just really tough to buy.
Is he back the next week? I thought he was back like at the end of the show.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Christ, yes.
But you know what?
But that's the thing, though. I mean, I look at Randy Orton, and I go, I don't think he really knows. Like, he wants to be the Jake the Snake Roberts face character, but he doesn't quite know how to do it. But right. At least I get the feeling like he's trying to work his way through it. Whereas Cena knows his character, but it's just really, it's a vapid character.
Well, I think my big problem, again, is that it didn't bring it up. It brought it down, and it was promoted as the knockout blow.
Yeah,
so you had such a promo. Like what you started with was great with The Rock. You had a great return with Cena. You had a great response again, retort by The Rock, and now you had shit. So here we are, is again with anything, is what have you done for me lately? And we're sure the score is out of four, the score is 3-1. Three good to one bad, but the bad is the last one. And now you gotta build on that. Now Rock apparently is going to be on either the go home show or I don't know if he's on this coming Monday.
I don't believe he's on again until the WrestleMania and the night after WrestleMania.
Yeah, apparently now he's
probably
right
now. I imagine there'll be some sort of satellite thing again. But frankly, he comes across more like, I mean, he has more conviction in his satellite interviews than Cena did.
Well, and that's my thing is whether
I think we've yeah. Go ahead. What were you going to
say? Well, I was going to say whether you. Whether you were before going to have Rock on, like if Rock was just going to be on the go-home show, I think you need him now. I think you need The Rock to return to save this angle, because right now the angle is, to me, is lost.
And we're talking about Miz. Maybe what could be interesting is Rock said right afterwards on his Twitter, you wanted my attention, Miz? Well, now you got it. After he made fun of Cena for his horrible promo.
And did the people's
elbow. And maybe
elbow.
That's the thing that he comes out now and he's completely ignored Cena to some degree. Largely hit on the Miz, because maybe that's where you try and get the heat now and save this.
Yeah.
But I'm not so sure. But I tell you what, we're talking about promos. I want to talk about, we have somebody on the line. 1980s, great promo, one of the best ever. George the Animal Steel. George, how you doing?
Moo! Wrestling! Talk. We. Bye bye.
George, you still there? Is he there?
I think there's nothing. I think he's gone. I think he's
well, no, but you know what? He gave us all we need to know about wrestling in the 80s and his feud with Bruno Sammartino. And
wow.
He's
a legend. He's a Hall of Famer.
You know what our correspondent, Joey Lawrence, what did you think of that George Steele interview?
Whoa.
Thank you, Joey. Excellent.
Wow. He was in Ed Wood.
Okay, let's hit you know what, we're talking about these promos. We're talking about 80s promos. So I got an email, actually, this week, and this is cool because it ties in, and we want to thank everybody. It was WeTalkWrestling@AIM.com. That's WeTalkWrestling, all one word, AIM.com. We appreciate your feedback. Please join us on Twitter. Email us. Tell us what you'd like to hear. Of course, also on Podomatic is where our home webpage.
We are the world.
We are the world. Go to about We Talk Wrestling on Podomatic.
What?
Become a follower or write on our wall.
Okay.
But, this is from his name is Badunkadunk from
Badunkadunk.
Badunk.
That's
B-dunk-a-dunk.
Awesome.
I like it. Badunkadunk.
Okay.
From Phoenix, Arizona here.
Okay.
And he was talking about he wanted us to know if we had a favorite promo from the 80s and the 90s. And while we're bringing that up, I'll say favorite promo since the 90s, not including the one from The Rock. Do you have anything that stands out for you?
Doesn't. You know, I that's a good question. There's a few.
But Dunkadunk's one smart man.
Apparently, yes. But I like that.
Or girl. Who knows?
Or yeah, I was going to say. Who knows? But the 80s. I honestly, there's some, I guess I'd have to think of like a Dusty Rhodes promo from the 80s, you know, I wand and dined with kings and queens and I slept in an alley eating pork and beans, you know, just those common man promos.
Yeah, those are awesome.
You know, your
just
job
awesome.
in you know, Detroit, you're out of a job, the auto sector, you know.
You're talking about like, great promos, though, and I think the question he's asking more is, do you have a favorite, or she, the donkey donk, be donkey.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think
is there a favorite, though?
Favorite.
I mean, I'll give you my favorite from the 80s.
Okay,
WrestleMania 4, Hulk Hogan.
Oh, I was just about to say that.
Yeah, because it was, honest to God, that, I believe, is the best promo of Hogan's career. I mean, there's a lot of great promos, but that promo, the only thing that was sucked about that promo was it was at WrestleMania, so it didn't add any buys, because it was the people who had already purchased
them. Oh, yeah, when
if
he's talking about...
If that promo had been talked about just
thank
before
God
that,
Donald Trump's a Hulkamaniac, dude. He knows enough to let go of the material possessions, hang on to the wife and kids, dog paddle his way to safety. Oh, yeah, it was great.
It was so good. There was so much, it was so entertaining, so much emotion behind it. It was long, but it was just, that's mm-hmm. probably, to me, that's the peak of Hulk Hogan's career in many
Actually,
ways.
You're right, because, and we talk about emotion, and we talk about the what Hulk Hogan was, and then getting serious, and going, you know, it was always that he'd get really serious for me, and go, people are asking me, did you really beat the Giant? Could you really slam the Giant again, dude? Well, tonight we're going to settle all that, Andre. Like, you know, he just...
Yeah.
It brought the issue back, right? And then did his, you know, his Hulkamania, you know, hanging on when the fault line breaks off and doing all that stuff,
just
right?
Yeah, so great. He's going to slam to Andre. Yeah, exactly. And the fault line's going to break. Just so awesome. Just great. And which writer wrote that for him?
That must have been Gewirtz, because it was brilliant.
Because it was brilliant.
Yeah.
So, we both have the same one from the 80s. And there's a lot of ones, like Dusty, and there's some from Savage that really stand out, and some from Jake that were great. I mean, there was a lot of great
I was going to say, Jake, this thing. There were some. I said,
how about in the 90s? What was your favorite promo of the 90s?
The favorite. See, I have two. I have two favorite promos in the 90s, both largely around the same angle. When the night after WrestleMania 13, or it was either the night or the week after, when Bret Hart turned on America,
said, "I think it was the night after." I believe.
Yeah, it was the night. And he, you know, to all my, you don't respect me. Well, the fact is that I don't respect you. And then, you know, and the fans in the United States of America could kiss my ass. And doing that promo, that to me was great. And
we talked about how a heel has to have a point of view in the past. The thing is, he was a heel and yet he was a face, right? I mean, depend on your point of view. But it was a promo that was layered, that was real. But when he came out, he said it. He wasn't acting, and you didn't feel like he's acting. You didn't feel like he's John Cena-ing it.
Yeah,
he was this saying something that really meant something to him. Now, whether or not he really felt like that, it was probably to some degree. In some degree, yes. In some degree, no.
Hmm.
I mean, but he, at that moment, believed
it. He was comfortable with it, yeah.
He was comfortable with it. It was real to him, damn it.
It's still real to him.
To Bret Hart, yes.
Yes.
But,
And how about yourself? I have one more, but I'll, you know, we'll
you
go
know
back
what? That one
here.
Obviously stands out to me, too. I mean, that was just, that was probably my, like, there's the moment near the end of that where he's hugging Owen. Owen was sitting there, emotional, back and forth, and he's like, I love you, Owen. You're my brother, and I love you.
Yeah, remember when I used to get you dressed for school?
Then he hugs him, and the crowd boos.
And he
just suddenly
look.
Looks up, and he shoots this crowd a look back and forth. Of disdain while Owen's look. That, to me, was the greatest promo of the 90s. I think the Rock's promo for, I think it was WrestleMania 14 with Austin. He had a great promo that night on WrestleMania 14 with 15. Yeah, that's right, 15. Yeah, WrestleMania 15.
That was him
Austin,
and Austin.
Him and Austin.
Philadelphia,
that night, the Rock cut one incredible, hellacious promo.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. And, of course, the King of the Ring promo was fantastic. But for me, if I'm to pick one promo from the 90s, it's that Bret Hart one that night, which is ironic because Bret was, I think, I would have given Brett, by the end of his career, probably about a 7.5, 8 out of 10 on the mic.
Promos, yeah.
But for much of his career, certainly probably closer to about a 6.5, 7.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy?
Well, who are you to doubt El Dandy? And it's mind over matter. I don't mind because you don't matter.
Because you don't matter.
That was excellent. Like, he became a better promo than people realized as he got on. But that night, that was a 20 out of 10 promo.
Well, I've got another they're starting to come to me as we talk and we mention people. But part of that angle, the Canada-US, one of the Monday Night Raws came from Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Yes.
And Shawn Michaels cut a promo in Halifax, Nova Scotia to proclaim that he was going to be the referee at SummerSlam Heart and Soul.
Yes.
And I don't – the content was –
wasn't that promo actually – didn't Brett – wasn't Brett not there that night?
No, he was there. That's when him and Vince had the hockey fight.
Oh, okay.
Right
that's
after.
Because right, I just remember in Brett's book, there was a promo that was written for Shawn that Shawn delivered so well that Brett actually put it in word for word in his own book. Because he thought the promo was so good and Shawn delivered it so good.
I don't believe it was that night
because I believe he wasn't there that night.
Okay. But that – we'd have to look. It's actually on page 8,042 of Bret Hart's book.
Yeah, so chapter 3.
Chapter 3. But Hart, or HBK rather, when he cut that promo, and it wasn't so much the content, although it was greatly delivered, but the crowd was just so rabid, and he was playing off the crowd and sticking the Canadian flags in his down his shorts.
That's right,
and
that was good.
And, you know, and if I
well, that angle was
if
so
I show impartiality,
funny.
I gotta come and live with all you wonderful people in Canada. You know, it was just great.
Yeah.
Talk about the other one, and I won't even have to say the name of it. I'll just start off with the first sentence. You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was a great promo, actually. You're right.
Where's the Nacho Man? You know, like, that was just...
Yeah. When Scott Hall showed up that first night,
yes.
And even the performers in the ring didn't know he was showing up. And TNA recently tried to do that, by the way, a couple of years ago. In a woman's match, they tried to recreate that with, I believe it was Kim Couture showing up, and it was an utter fail.
That's right, with Victoria.
Because it just shows how behind... That you can't just recreate something necessarily that worked once and hope it works again. You have to know why it worked.
To this day,
TNA doesn't. But
to this day, I still can't believe they didn't tell Steve Dahl. You know, show him some, and Mike Enos, just a little bit of respect.
That was. You're right. That was one hell of a promo. But in some ways, it wasn't even so much that the promo was that great. It's that the moment was that great.
Mm-hmm.
More so than the promo.
Well,
the
promo kicked off the moment to the point where you can look back at the NWO there on that was it May 23rd, 1996 Nitro and say, yeah, that's when it all started.
Yeah,
and
right.
and you've got enough.
And
you know,
the NWO
it's not,
drew a lot of money for a while. I mean, despite having like Sesame Street music,
lost a lot of money, but drew a lot of money.
Well, drew everybody.
Sesame Street music.
Yeah, it's Sesame Street music, wasn't it? How did it go? No, okay, no. Actually, sing a little bit of the NWO song. How did it go?
What?
Okay, now, how does this sound? Does this sound familiar to you?
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yes.
They ripped off the fucking Sesame Street song for NWO.
If you're going to rip it off.
Rip it off, put a little porno in it, we're good to go. That's some rustling right there.
That's true.
All right.
Tickle me Elmo.
You know what? We have a current WWE star in the line. I'm really looking
really?
For this. Yeah, no, this is a great interview for us. It's very difficult to actually get. We haven't had a current star yet.
That's true.
And the reason why is because it is a little bit difficult to get through to the WWE, get them a grant to interview access
well,
to somebody.
Well, their marketing department is
PR department's in a little bit of a flux right now. But
yeah.
We have on one of the biggest international stars currently in the WWE, former world, I believe, two-time world champion, current – I believe Raw Superstar.
Well, you did hook this up. Okay, yeah, he is a Raw Superstar.
I believe, yeah, it is. I managed to get through to him. And great Kali, how are you?
Well, hello, Mo. Mo, Addy. How are you today?
Is this the great Kali?
It is. It's the great Kali. I'm on Monday Night Raw, yes.
You don't sound like I thought you
were. I have Ranjan Singh, and they don't let me cut the promos anymore.
No, I don't know why. You're eloquent.
I thought so.
When did you first kind of, how did you get into the industry? You were a bodybuilder, I believe, in India, and then...
I was in India, yes. I did come from India, and I trained. I did very well.
Nobody ever got hurt when you're training?
I never hurt a fly, no.
No, well, no. It's a work.
And you have to be very...
For the competition, right? For the competition, you
I
work
am
hard?
Very serious about my craft, Mo. I am very, very serious about it. I take my role as a ring general and a technician very seriously.
Yeah, no, everybody knows that about this. Are you sure this is the Great Kali on the line?
This is the Great Kali, yes, from India.
From India.
From India, from Punjab.
So you were in a
India,
movie with Adam Sandler.
Yes, good time.
What was that experience like? How was Adam to work with?
Adam was tremendous to work for. Burt Reynolds was, he was not shy at all about asking my opinion as to how I helped Burt Reynolds very closely get into his character and showed him really how to be a better actor.
Have you ever done that for anybody in the wrestling ring?
I do help. As a two-time, Mo, as a two-time former heavyweight champion, you are relied upon in the locker room to be a leader and to help out when you can. For instance, I remember there was two WrestleMania matches between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker where I helped both Shawn and Undertaker map that match out. They came to me, they said, Kali, what do you think? What would you do here? I'm stuck for a spot. I don't know quite what to do. Can you help me map this match out?
I'm sorry. It is the Great Kali on the line, right?
Absolutely. This is Mo, correct?
Yeah, Mo. No. And so you didn't mind the competition from them having a great match compared to all your five-star matches? The competition, you know? You like competition, right? Just say it, goddammit. Just say it!
I want some competition.
Thank you, Great Kali. Thank you for the interview.
I'm really serious.
No,
I'm
seriously,
really
get the hell off the line. You're gone.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Kali.
Wow. What an utter douchebag.
Holy, what a dick, huh?
My God. You know what? I thought his answer to all your questions were very interesting that you were posing to him.
I could barely understand what he was saying.
Yeah, it's true. Well, he's got that accent.
He does. Well, it's unbelievable, really.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah,
all right, I'm going to get back to this. We were talking about the great promos and obviously the great promo that is Great Kali.
Yes, we did. Now, we haven't...
We didn't talk about the great promo kind of cutting out... We talked about the 90s. How about
80s,
the 2000s? 90s? And we'll consider right up to today.
Okay.
Cutting out the Rock's promo when he came back, or even this one, because that's too current. So what was your favorite promo?
My favorite promo still, a couple of them pop into my head, but probably one of my all-time favorite promos was 3 days before Survivor Series 2001. Where it was the Alliance against the WWF.
I don't recall this promo at all.
Paul Heyman called Vince McMahon out to
that's
the middle
it.
Of...
Yeah, I remember.
At
we
this
about this
very
before.
Moment at my leisure.
I forgot about the date, but
and,
that's right.
And he called Vince McMahon out to, in the middle of his ring, on his show, you know, owned by his grand company. And when he did, he went sort of between work and shoot, really.
Yeah.
And said, you know, what, you know, this, you know, what sucks and, you know, talked all the way, went through the history of, you know, Shawn Michaels' Smile and Bret Hart's Dream and Mean Gene and Bobby Heenan singing Tutti Frutti and Doink the Clown and ECW and you know, referencing something Mick Foley when he quit on the Monday Night Raw before saying that WWF sucked.
That's right.
And then he would go right back into, you know, then, but me and your kids, your children are going to take this away from you and, you know, and went back into the storyline, but then would pull out in almost, you know, a very overlay shoot way and then bring it right back into the story and keep going back and forth. I just thought it was fantastic. And of course, Taz chokes him out at the end and Vince gets the last word
so that's your number one promo.
That to me is the number one promo in 2000.
Okay, so. I'm gonna bring up, there was a few promos that I thought were just,
We didn't mention Ahmed.
Johnson. No, we did not mention
how do we miss
Ahmed
that?
Johnson in the 90s talking to Farouk about how Farouk was going down. I believe it went something like...
On who?
I believe Farouk.
Savio.
And, yeah. And it was
so who was Frug going down on, though?
Yeah, down where?
Yeah, down there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I'm going to bring up a couple. A fantastic promo that didn't draw any money, can't draw any money, but it was just a tremendous promo was Joey Styles when he couldn't call WrestleMania, and then they replaced him. He couldn't call Backlash. Okay, I'm not good enough for WrestleMania.
I can't call Backlash?
That's right. That was awesome. I thought their promo that I believe it was about the time he was feuding with Flair in the ring. Mick Foley did a great promo when he was. They turned off the lights and it was just him in a spotlight in the middle of the ring.
In the chair.
On the chair, that was a really, really interesting promo.
Uh-huh.
And because it was starkly different. Ric Flair on Carlito was a.
Yes. That is true.
Shawn Michaels, HBK, Hulk Hogan,
Larry King. Oh, no, okay. Well, not the Larry. The Larry King is great.
Larry King, but the one next week in Montreal is my all-time favorite. I don't consider Shawn Michaels to have been a great talker. About the same level as Brett, kind of like a 7.5. Good, solid talker. Not a great talker, but good Lord, that promo was so heated. The crowd heat was through the roof. He was such an asshole.
And when he laid down and said, I'm in charge here. I can wait. And he did that, yeah.
That was just an awesome one.
You're talking about, you mentioned...
And Mick Foley and Edge, right before he left as an announcer, was also something really, really good.
That was good, too. You mentioned, I can't believe it, we didn't talk anything about Flair.
Yeah,
but if we go back to the 90s. This is the 90s. But when Flair came back from his when Reed had the amateur tournament and he got him and Bischoff had that thing and Bischoff was
keeping him on. Fire me! I'm already fired.
You know, but you know, just the whole Four Horsemen. They were all in the suits, and you know, this was real.
And that's why it was so good. That was real.
Yeah,
he was
shooting. And he was biting his lip, and he was bleeding.
But when somebody's shooting on somebody, it isn't always good. I mean, when Scott Steiner shot on Flair, it wasn't good, right? So, not all shoots are good, but that was fantastic, too. That's right up there.
That was
utterly compelling.
That was an awesome question by... Badonkadonk?
B-Donkadonk.
Nice. We only have one question done. We got more.
We only have one question done. It's too bad. We got a few questions from the email, but again, we want people to hit us up there.
Yeah.
But we're probably going to make this show a little bit shorter. We're planning to do more shows this week, so there'll actually be more content, but we're probably pretty close to wrapping this one up. Do you have anything else you want to hit here before we get to the end?
The only thing we've been talking about promos, so just along that vein, is, and we don't have to have a huge long conversation about it, just a couple minutes, but just the Cena Rock, getting back to that, and we're talking about the eras, the 90s, the 80s, the 2000s. To me, that Cena Rock interaction the last, 4 weeks where they've been going back and forth, what that really shows is, to me, I've written it down here, a tale of two eras. You know, that Attitude Era and the Cena Era and just the difference in promos because, like, Cena's doing the best that they're going to allow him to do, essentially. That's the peak. That's all they're going to let him do. And then The Rock comes out and has no restrictions because he's the fucking Rock and they're just going to let him do whatever he does. And if they don't let him do whatever he does, then he ain't coming. And they need him more than he needs them, right?
Is Cena the best promo right now?
I don't know that he's the best promo. I'm not saying he's the best promo, but he's in the highest angle, okay?
Okay.
He is in
Who's the best promo right now, then?
Ooh, that is a good question. Who is the best?
Because the thing is, I look at The Miz
and I
think...
Who gets
to cut
promos?
Okay, well, The Miz, for instance, is an entertaining promo
who
doesn't draw any money. It's not a money promo. He doesn't know how... He's never drawn a... done a money promo. He's only done entertaining promos.
CM Punk.
CM Punk to me is probably the best because he understands the psychology, how to draw more of a money promo.
Randall, Keith Orton.
I consider CM Punk probably to be the best right now. So let's say he's the best. Where would CM Punk rank if he was in the 90s as a promo? If he's the best right now, he'd be what? Would he be top 10?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'd be top 10.
You include WCW.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who would WCW get a promo?
There was some promo. Flair.
Jericho? Yeah.
Jericho at one point. Yeah, I mean, Nash was a good promo.
Okay.
You know?
Bischoff?
Bischoff. I mean, if you really look at it, I'm not so sure he would have been top 10. You look at Foley.
Well, look at Foley, Rock, Austin, Vince.
Yeah.
Who else in WWF?
I don't know.
I'm not giving you Hunter.
I'm not going to go Hunter, no. But, you know, you could have said, okay, well, yeah, we're talking Attitude Era. Those are probably the ones that stand out the most. But
yeah, and Punk would be right in there.
Yeah, Punk would be, well, Punk would be fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
Like Punk probably, if Punk is the best promo in wrestling today, he's probably the eighth best promo. Well, at least the best promo in the top two companies. I can't think of anybody.
Well, but then you could throw in ECW, and, you know, you would have Heyman.
Yeah, you throw in ECW, you throw in Heyman, yeah, but who Taz was a tremendous promo, actually. RVD was actually a pretty damn good promo when he was allowed to actually have, talk.
Hey.
No, that's Jeff Hardy. Where's my painting? Great. Or that's my painting?
That's my painting.
So, I mean, but if you just look at it, I mean, I think that's what's being highlighted here is if the very best promo is John Cena, theoretically, where would he fit? John Cena fit in the 90s?
You're also talking an era, though. When you're talking CM Punk is top eight.
If John Cena, if you're saying he's top three, let's just say, he's not even as good as Hunter, though, who we weren't even putting on that list.
Yeah, that's right. Or Taker.
Yeah.
You know, or Paul Bearer. Or Shane O'Mac, or
Road Dogg was a good promo.
Road Dogg could spit out his catchphrases.
Well, no, he was. You know what? He was.
It's D O double G.
He's pretty good, but you know what? Bubba Ray Dudley is a fantastic promo.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else, right? So I mean, that's what's being highlighted. Is you could talk about Cena versus The Rock, but it's more this era versus that era.
But they're the figureheads, you know, of their two eras. So when we talk about the tale of two eras,
and I sure hope, by the way, when I'm drinking my beer, that is gulp isn't going down on being recorded here.
Yeah, I don't think you should be saying gulp and going down, but okay.
No, well, we're not talking about your mom.
It's.
I think that's about all we have time for this week. We have a ton of good stuff coming up this week. We have three shows coming up this week. We'll be back soon. I think that's about it for me. OUT.
Yeah. No. Let's get out of here. So thanks everybody for joining us, and we'll see you again in a little while.